Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
The Word out again. Amen. Anybody excited for what God's going to do in your life today? I look at every opportunity that I get to bring the Word as a way to just shake us up in our spirits, you know, stir us up so that we can go further. My dad right now is actually preaching on the basics of Christianity. And as he's been speaking on that, there have been a lot of people that have been asking me a lot of questions about the basics of Christianity. So I wanted to talk about the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Now, we know the Word of God, it's crazy. As I was searching and studying the scriptures on the Word of God, the Word of God has came from God the Father. It has went through the Holy Spirit, and it actually was Jesus Christ. Amen. We see that the Word is encompassed in each part of the Godhead. But we want to just talk about just the Word of God. We're going to include each and every one of those aspects and see why it is so important for us today. Amen. And one thing that I always like to see, or we always hear, is the Bible is, what's the abbreviation people have made it stand for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Or I even heard somebody say the best instructions before leaving earth. I kind of like the best one because it's just the best one, you know. But when you think about the Bible, that's really what it is. It deals with any and every issue that we go through in life. Somebody might say, well, it doesn't say in the scripture, do not smoke. But the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not damage it. So there's things that are in the Word of God that we can relate to each and every part of our life. But with that being said, we as Christians have to make sure we know the Word and we can defend the Word of God. Amen. Before I get started in this, I remember I might have said this before, but hey, this is what preachers do. They say things over and over again. How many of you know your pastor has said the same thing about 3 or 4 times? Praise the Lord. But anyway, I remember I was working out in the 24-hour fitness a while back, and I always say that, so you know I need to get back in there. But while I was in there, as I was sharing with the men in the Bible study, there was a thing that came on the TV that they said they found Jesus' bones, right? And I was like, man, this is 2000, and back then it was 2010 when I was going. So it's been a long time. I told you it's been a while. It was 2010, and I'm like, how did they find Jesus' bones out of everybody in the world's bones? You know what I'm saying? They was like, we found Jesus' bones. Here it is. We found it here in Jerusalem at this specific place. And then, and I was like, man, you know, as a Christian, I'm like, yeah, right. Come on, man. But as I was in there, I was like, you know what that does for some people that already don't believe the scripture? They look at that and say, oh, man, I was watching the news. They said they found Jesus' bones, right? So now they use this as evidence to say Jesus didn't raise from the dead. But we as Christians, we have to be able to defend the Word of God. Amen. Now, I will say this. You cannot, it's impossible to say that you found Jesus' bones 2,000 years later. I mean, you can't, like, if each one of us died and we mixed our bones together and, you know, we might not be able to tell, oh, was that Hannah's bones over there? No, that was Preston. I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I mean, it's already hard enough to recognize people's faces sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But bones is a whole nother story. But I'm going to say this. Christianity does not exist without the Word of God. All right? There is no such thing that exists as far as Christianity without the Word of God, because we know that it all started with the Word of God. Let's go to Psalms 33, chapter 2. I'm sorry, Psalms chapter 33, verse 2. And we're going to get that up there on the screen. Bear with my wife. That's she doesn't run that all the time. But she's going to get it. Hallelujah. Psalms 33, verse 2. And I thought it was important to see how everything started with the Word of God. Now, somebody say, how come he didn't go to Genesis? But this is talking about what happened in Genesis. Amen. Here it goes. It says, praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for the Lord. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of unfailing love. This is what I want us to look at right here. Verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Somebody say the heavens. The starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. So in this scripture, it talks about even before we were created, anything that was created on earth came from the mouth of God. We see that, right? The word that God said when he said, I don't know what he said. He might have spoken. He probably didn't speak in English. You know what? God probably spoke in every language at the same time. That's probably the way God speaks, right? He said, come to pass. All right, stars, you go over there. And they went. Earth, create, stand firm. All of this started with the word of God. And even the way that the world is shaped, even the trees and all that, it was all created by the word of God. Some people would be like, well, how does that happen? We don't know how it happened. It's the word of God. And in the word, the Bible word, it explains that he created the world in the same way. He created each and every one of us with his breath. Right? That's the only way we breathe is through his breath. It's still through the word of God. And as in that scripture, it went through a lot of different things that the word was. The word is truth. The word is righteous. That means it's pure. I'm going to get into talking about that a little bit later, about everything that the word of God is. But we have to remember, God's word is very important. Prior to the written word of God, we see in the times of the Israelites, who spoke the word of God? Anybody know? Moses. Go ahead. Elijah. Daniel. Now, so we're naming a lot of people, but there was leaders, prophets, even judges, kings that brought the word of God to the people, right? Now, they didn't have back in David's era, they didn't have Psalms chapter 33. Oh, let's turn to Psalms. No, they had to be in connection with God to get the word of God, right? We see that. And back then, I'm not going to go to any stories right now, but I've been reading. I actually do the audio Bible. Anybody got an audio Bible? I listen to the Bible while I'm cleaning up. And there's some stories, man, that I would say they were really perplexing me, man. I was like, wow. Why did God do that to this person? Let me share one story. There was a prophet that God told to go speak this word of God. After you speak that word, don't go to anybody's house. Leave that land. Right? So he speaks the word of God to the king. And the king's like, wow, okay. Hey, do you want to come to my house to eat? This is what the king said. And he's like, no, I can't. I have to leave. So he goes along his way. Then an old prophet, somebody that had been retired from prophesying, right? So that might have showed you something right there. He was past his time. But he came to him and said, God told me to tell you to come to my house and eat with me. And the prophet, at first he was like, nah, man, God told me that I have to leave. And he said, no. God told me to tell you to come to my house. So guess what happens? The man goes to his house, he eats. And as he's at that house, the Spirit of the Lord came upon that guy and he said, why did you come here? I told you not to come here. God spoke through that other prophet and said, I told you not to come here. Now your very life will be demanded from you. And as soon as he left, he was immediately ate by lions. And I looked at the scripture and I was like, wow. Man, but what did that show us? That God's word, when he gives you a specific word, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. It doesn't need to be altered. It doesn't need to be, well, maybe I could. God is serious about his word. Amen. And we have to take it seriously, unlike that prophet did. Now, somebody might say he had good intentions. He thought that was a man of God speaking to him, right? But and this is what I would show you guys, too. This is why it's important that we study the word of God, because if any man, get this, tells you something that is not the word of God or not in the word of God or not in alignment with the word of God, we cannot do it. That's the same thing that prophet told the other guy. The bad prophet told him to come. And the good prophet was like, well, maybe I should go. But that shows us the importance of God's word. Amen. Our main purpose as Christians is to surrender and be used by God for his glory and his glory alone. That's why the angels were created. We look at back in the Bible, before the Bible, they were in heaven and all they did was worship. Lucifer was like, man, wait, this worship thing is, hey, God is getting all that worship. Maybe I need to get some. Hand me some of that worship. And immediately, even as he thought that, as he conjured up some of the other angels and said, hey, you guys can worship me. Man, we could do the same thing as God. Immediately, he was kicked out. So we see that God demands worship from us. That's why we were created. Now, part of worship, as I said, was to surrender. And as we talk about the word of God, somebody might say, how did God write the Bible? Or who wrote the Bible? Some people will say that. Has anybody heard man wrote the Bible? Right? It was written by a man that was just off in the wilderness, sitting with trees, talking to squirrels, and, you know, all kind of stuff like that. We hear that. But some of us, we even in our hearts, we don't understand how the Bible was written. I'm going to talk about that because it's very important that we know that it wasn't just a man's word. And that surrender type thing that I was talking about is very important. But I want to go, before we get to that, let's go to Mark chapter 13. You got that up there? Verse 5 through 30. And this is why it's important for us to know the word of God. Because in the last days, many will be deceived. That's what the word of God says. Let me look at it again. Mark chapter 13, verse 5. Sorry. And when you got it, you can say, amen. All right, here it goes. It says, Jesus said to them, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. Okay, let's stop right there. Why does Jesus say this? Because some people are going to be deceived. Somebody say some will be deceived. So it's very important that, first of all, Jesus speaking this, that's the word of God. Now, it's also written in the canonized word of God. So let's pay attention to what he's saying. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. Okay, let's stop. Once again, we see deceive. There's going to be Jesus imposters. Somebody say imposters. Now, what's an imposter? A faker. You know what I'm saying? Not the real thing. There's going to be many that say, I am Jesus. And I'm going to say this. It's not even saying that I am the Jesus. They're going to deceive people by leading them away from the real Jesus. Right? Because the only way that you can deceive somebody, you have to hide the truth from them. Right? If I know red is red and I already know red is red, you cannot tell me that this is red. Because I already know. Right? Now, I got two toddler kids. Everybody done seen them jumping around, tearing things up. Actually, they were pretty good today. But anyway, if I teach my son, who is 2 and a half, and he might be too old now, but if I say this is red, my son is only 2 years old. He knows that that's green. He's like, Dad, that's not green. That's not red. I'm sorry. But if you keep telling him, hey, that's red, eventually he's going to be like, hey, maybe that is red. Because he doesn't know it without a shadow of a doubt. In the same way, there's going to be imposters that say, this is the word of God. Or even prophets, and I put my hands up like this to let you know they're imposter prophets, will say, this is what God's word says. So the only way that we can not be deceived is to what? Know God's word. Say, I must know God's word. Let's keep going. But when you hear of the wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, we already see stuff like this happening, correct? We see earthquakes, we see floods that we've never even imagined, tsunamis, tornadoes. This stuff has already been predicted by the word of God. So for Christians, we shouldn't be like, oh, man, what's going on? God told us this stuff was going to happen, right? Let's keep on going. And this is why the word of God is a living and active Bible. It's not a dead book. And when I say that, every other book that was written is a dead book. There's no living power in any other book besides the Bible. So when we read the word of God, we have to remember God's word, as he said, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said, God's word does not return void. It will go out and do what it was purposed to do. It was purposed when the Spirit of God hit these men to write the word of God, it was purposed to challenge each and every one of us in here today. God made the word not just for one person, but for the whole world, from generations to generations. That's why if any of us read the Bible, sometimes we read the Bible, we read this scripture before, but we're like, dang, that, why does it look so different today? Oh, man, that scripture, man, then you start highlighting it, right? You highlight it and be like, man, that was good. Then you come back to it and you're like, okay, man, why did I highlight that? Okay, I remember, man, this scripture impacted me. But then the next time you highlight it, you'll be like, well, I should have highlighted it because of this part, though. That's because God's word is continuing to reveal himself to us. Amen. Verse 9, it says, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Now, some people don't like that part, but God said, you're going to do that for a testimony for him. Verse 10 says, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now look, look, we see again the word of God will come from your mouth. Do we see that? It says the Holy Spirit will speak through us. What does that mean? Has anybody ever had the Holy Spirit speak through you? Okay, some of us say yes. Some of us is like, I don't know. Maybe. But the Holy Spirit, what does it mean? As I was talking about surrendering to God, when we surrender to God, when we are in alignment and say, God, use me, he will use you. He will speak through you. I've prayed for people, never met them in my life, and God told me things about their life that I never knew. I'm like, I don't know you. What's your name? When I get done praying, I'm like, what's your name again? But I prayed and God spoke through me. He spoke a divine word for that person. And how do we know it? Because they're like, how did you know that? And I'm like, the Spirit of God spoke through me and said that. He showed me. And that's exactly how the word of God was written. Right? The Spirit of God showed these men. It wasn't like, man, let me write down this good poem today. That's not what David was doing. The Spirit of God spoke to him through him, and he wrote it on the pen. And they weren't zombies. They were real people. Let's keep on going. Verse 12, now brother will betray brother to death and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. All right, so we see a lot going on in there. Let me look at some things real quick. Why would people be hated? Any ideas? Because they hate Jesus. Why do they hate Jesus? He was saying, once again, here we go. It comes back to the word. They hate the word of God. Today, they're trying to stop people from preaching certain sections in the word of God. Right? We hear that. Don't preach that because that's a little bit too, oh, man, that's real tough, man. Don't. But God's word, once again, is what people will begin to hate. This word of God that we read, and this is why it's so important that we know the word of God, because it's very important for us to function the way that God wants us to function. Amen? I'm going to keep on reading. What verse was I at? Verse 14. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant in those days, who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been seen since, since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened the days, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. Once again, it says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you these things beforehand, all these things beforehand. Now, we see that God's word is going to save us from being deceived. Amen. In that scripture, in the latter part of it, it talked about the enemy is going to even deceive, try to deceive the people of God. That's what it said. So how is he going to do that? The people of God. Let's talk about the people of God. He's going to try to deceive the people of God. Guess what that means? The people of God must not be knowing his word. That's important. If we don't know his word and we're Christians and hallelujah, I love to sing praises. I love to worship God. God, all we know is God is good and smile. That's not enough to get you through when tribulation starts coming. Right? I said this. I do rap music. I said, when it's kicking and punch time, you can't beat it with punch lines. You can't beat it with something that you just, oh, that was a good thing. You have to know things in your spirit. You have to know the word of God so much that when everything looks like, man, it's really bad, we have to remember what God's word says. Amen? God's word said we're going to face trials and we're going to face tribulations, but God's word said we will overcome. And it's important that we keep that in our spirits. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. So we're going to go to who wrote the word of God. I'm going to go to a quick scripture real quick. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. And this actually shows us somebody writing down the word of God. And it says this, then the Lord said to Moses, who said this to Moses? Come on. Who said it? The Lord. Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he went there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, we see this. It's so clear here that God actually spoke to Moses and said, write this down. So who wrote the Bible? God. God spoke the Bible. He used an instrument to write the Bible. Amen. Moses was a man just like us. Somebody say, hey, Moses was one of the greatest people. No, Moses was a person just like us. He had flaws. Now, I will say this. We don't need to write the Bible anymore. We're not writing. I don't care how much word that God gives you today. We do not need to write another Bible. Because Revelations talked about that. It said, do not add to this word and do not take away from this word. Amen. So now we see God spoke through Moses to write this word. Also, we're going to go to one of the scriptures that I've been quoting like crazy over the last couple of weeks, 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says this, all scripture is given. Uh-oh, somebody knows it. By inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, not just one version of proof, but reproof, that there's something there that I'm going to get to in a second. For correction, somebody say for correction. Why does it say for correction? There's going to be people that need to be corrected. So that means that some people that think they know what the Bible says, they might need to be corrected. We needed to be corrected for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So once again, I'm going to read that again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God inspired these people to write the Bible. So the next time somebody says it's just a book that men wrote, it's just something that that person came up with, say no, it's all inspired by God. You could take them through the scripture. And you know, I think it's very important that we as believers, as I said earlier, defend the word of God. Right? I'll tell you this. If you tell a Muslim the Quran is false, not only will they defend it, they might kill you. Right? When you tell people that your word is, man, the book that you follow is false, there's usually some kind of problem. It could cause a war. Right? But for some reason, when people tell us as Christians the word of God is false, we don't even defend it. We just get quiet and be like, well, praise God, he just wants me to be peaceful about it. But we have to look at it and say, man, this is an opportunity not to kill somebody. All right, let's just clarify that. But to defend what we believe. We have to defend what we believe. Because it's going to get more and more rampant where people are saying, hey, man, that Bible is just some garbage book. Man, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. If somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. What kind of stuff is that? Right? We've heard people say stuff like that. But we have to show them, okay, let's go through the scripture. Let's see what happens. Instead of fighting and escalating something, we know how to deflate it. Now, the Bible does talk about war, so that after the second slap, it's war. That's what I always say. But the first one, we could just try to see, okay, let's stay. Jesus didn't say nothing about a second slap. Amen. But since all scripture is given it by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine. People create their own doctrines in today and say, this is what God's word says. Now, when it comes to doctrines, this is the thing about God's word. When you make a doctrine up, it needs to be proven throughout all scripture, right? Because when we start pulling scriptures and say, love your neighbor as yourself, no. First of all, I can't stand my neighbor. I don't know why they put that in there. Let's take that out. When we start taking these little scriptures out, we start making what they call cults. Because a cult, first of all, the devil knows the word of God. And he'll tell you some things in the word of God. When you're depressed, he might say something like, Judas hung himself because that was his destination. Then you're like, and I'm so depressed. You might see yourself, I denied Jesus this week. And you're looking like, dang. But see, that's how the devil will use the word of God. The devil won't tell you that Peter denied Jesus. But what did Peter do? He repented. So the devil's not going to tell you that, oh, repent. Man, if the devil will not tell you to repent. That's one thing he won't tell you to do. But he knows about repentance. So when we see the doctrine in the scriptures, it has to be something that involves all scripture. We can't pick and choose certain parts of it and say, I want to take this and let's make a statement that says this. Without all scripture, it has to be in alignment. As that other word is said, it has to be reproved in the scripture. We should never just get one scripture, two scriptures, and say, let's bypass these ones to make what we believe. It's very important that we believe all scripture. Amen. So number one, God created the scripture. He inspired people to write it. Once again, interpretations. When we interpret the scriptures, this is not a book where everybody has their own opinions and their own opinions are good, right? Because how many of us have heard somebody read the Bible and they say, I think that's what that means. And they go, this is why you need teachers to teach it correctly. Because the Bible says we need to rightly divide the word of truth. So when it says rightly, that means there may be and there most likely is a wrong way to divide the word of truth. We have to know God's word. We have to study his word so that we could divide his word. And when it says divide, that does not mean cut it up and say, I'm only taking this half. We're going to divide it by two. Let's take it. No, we're not doing that. What we are doing is we're dividing the word of truth so that we can apply it to our life, so that we can understand each scripture in our life. Once again, God's word has final authority. Somebody say final authority. So that means if a pastor, a preacher, or even any normal person comes and says, I have a word of God, and I just want to tell you, this is the word of God. Believe this. And if it's not, no matter how strong he is, no matter how big he is, we need to go back and say, does that line up with God's word? He said, I'll be blessed if I do everything I want. I can pray and get everything I want. It don't have to be in line with God's will. We say, oh, wait. First of all, I can't do anything that I want because that's not what Christians are here for. Right? We're not here to just do whatever we want. And if somebody didn't know that, we're not in control of our life. We should not be in control of our life. We should not be like, God, God, I'm taking a vacation from my biblical studies for a year, God. I just need some time off, God. That's not what we're supposed to do. We are called to worship him, as I said earlier, which means sacrifice our ways. The Bible actually talks about Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2. Therefore, I must offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is a spiritual act of worship. That's what worship is. It's not a song. I always say that. It's not a song. It ain't words. Worship is a lifestyle. You can leave this building, never sing a song again, and you can still worship God. It's important to know that. The importance of God's word is shown in this scripture, Joshua 1:8. And I look at this scripture a lot, and this is something that helps us and pushes us to get into the word continually. It says this: this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, when we see that, they were actually the book of the law they were referring to back then, because once again, they didn't have the full Bible. They had what was known as a Torah, or they had the laws. I mean, and I'm going to say this. They had so many laws back then. Oh, my goodness. They were like, if you touch a dead animal, you have to go outside the city for 7 days. Don't touch nobody. And then you can become clean. Thank God that Jesus died. Amen. Because it was getting ridiculous. It was like, hey, if something died in your house, you guys got to move out for 7 days, burn that place, come back in. Like, it was like, wow. Okay. But what we see is, in order for Israel to know the book of law, they had to meditate on it. They had to study it. They had to read it. Matter of fact, still a lot of Jewish boys, when they're 12 years old, they have to know that. They have to get up and speak it, correct? Am I correct? They have to know that. So what we see is now we have the full book of the law, the Bible. We have that whole book. And we have to meditate on it. If you don't like, and now we live in the age where we got, what should I call it? Electronic Bibles, right? Two thumbs up for that, because, man, I got the Bible everywhere I go because it's on my phone. So when people want to get into a debate or want to challenge the scriptures, I'm like, hold up. Look. I do a lot of street witnessing. So I've been at the club and somebody said, but God's word said this. Wait. Hold up. Let me pull out my phone. I got the word of God right here. Now, what was you saying the word of God said? All right, look, this is what God's word says right here. And they're like, wow. And I tell them, God's word is so important. That's why we must study on it. I do this, like if you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, and you have questions about the word of God, I say, shoot your question, and I'm going to find out for you while you're here. Now, I'm not claiming to be no super scholar, but I have to know my word if I'm going to believe this, right? We have to know God's word if we believe it. If we call ourselves a Christian, that means we believe God's word. So we must know it. And I'll tell you this. With those electric Bibles, you can search a word and you can get a whole bunch of scriptures on it. And you can say, okay, was it? No, that's, he said, no, okay, let me go. There we go. Send it to him. That's what I do. And most of them, I know I could say the quote the scripture, but it's like, okay, where is it exactly at? So I can show them where it's at. That's why we got to meditate on the word. Even memorizing scripture. I remember when I was in high school, we had to remember Romans chapter 12. And I could quote a lot of Romans chapter 12 verbatim, but that's because the word of God is in me. Now, I didn't, okay, here we go. Let me keep going. Jesus is the living word. I think this is going to be the last thing I talk about today. But Jesus is the living word. Let's go to John chapter 1. So, wait. This word that God has been speaking, Jesus was the living word. What does that mean? Come on, somebody. He was the word that God was speaking the whole time. Let's look at this. And see, when we talk about God, it's not just if I say my name is Marquise, that's a word, right? But that's not a living word. I'm living, but that's not the word. It's not going to keep on going. But Jesus is the word from through and through. He shows you how to live the word. Amen. Look, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay, you're going a little fast there. It's all good. Next scripture. He was in the beginning with God. So look, it said, first of all, he was God, but it also said he was with God. So what we see is the Trinity, we see parts of the Godhead. If you don't like the word Trinity, it's the same thing. We see that in this scripture. And it says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. All right, now it's starting to show how men saw this. We started with him. It said all things that had life were made in him, right? It says, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Uh-huh. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light that all through him might believe. Now it said Jesus was the word. It also said Jesus was the what? The light. Okay, so let's pay attention to this. It actually didn't say Jesus. I gave y'all a quick note to see what's coming ahead. Let's keep going. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. All right? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh. Somebody say flesh. Now touch your skin. Under your skin is flesh, right? It said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So who is the only begotten Son? Jesus, full of grace and full of truth. Keep going. I'm actually going to read this whole chapter. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is what he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, because for he was before me. So, I mean, some people might start reading this and they get confused. Like, how is he before him, but after him? And because Jesus was the word of God. Jesus, as my dad has been preaching on, he didn't have a beginning. Somebody say he didn't have a beginning. God was not created by anything. He was self-sustained. That's what they say. God was, what's the best word? What's the word I'm looking for? He's an eternal being, right? We are finite beings. We can receive eternal life, but God is an eternal being. And actually, as my dad preached about last week, he was talking about the reason why Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden was so that they would not eat the tree of life, of eternal life, in their sinful state. Because if we did, we would have been eternally in sin. The devil is eternally in sin. He cannot be reconciled. He cannot be saved. Next time you read Genesis, look at why he kicked them out. But it's important to know that Jesus was the living word that came to this earth. Let's keep on going. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So John did a good thing right there. He said, I'm not him. He's coming, though. And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Keep going. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in some of these words in the Bible. No, I'm playing. Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Is that the last verse? A couple more. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I'm going to stop right there. Now, what we see is, in order for us to recognize who Jesus was, God's word went before, right? Through the prophets. And said, this is going to be my son. Without the word of God, we wouldn't have even recognized who Jesus was. And Jesus actually got upset with the Pharisees a lot because he says, y'all, you guys, you know the word. You know the book of the law. You know all this stuff. I am he that you read about. And that's why we was talking about it as we read Matthew in our weekly Bible study. He was like, man, why don't you guys get it? I'm the one. And the Pharisees, in their ignorance, in their wanting to have power more than God, rejected the word of God. Amen. And we saw how it affected them. They actually killed the living word to try to stop the word of God. And I'm going to ask this as we close. Are we killing the word of God in our life? Are we allowing the word of God to flow in us? Or are we allowing the word of God to become who we are supposed to become? Jesus was the living word. That means we, as we read the word, we're supposed to be like Jesus, correct? We're supposed to become the word of God. We're supposed to become what the word says, right? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus was fearfully and wonderfully made. If I follow Jesus, I'm supposed to be fearfully, wonderfully made. So it's very important that we follow the word of God. I'm gonna continue on this next month. But the word of God, man, let's go ahead and stand, pray. And I'm going to say this. You guys can stand up. Anybody listening? No, that's all good. If you're listening, have questions, you can call us at 206-402-3118. That's New Creation's number. You can email us at Marquise@newcreationwa.org. Or you could Twitter us at New Creation WA, and we will be glad to answer your questions, concerns, or prayer requests. But Heavenly Father, we just come praying, dear God, and we thank you for the word of God that you've given us, God. We thank you, dear God, that you did not make Christianity be a mystery to us, oh God. You gave us your word. Allow us to apply your word, to follow your word, and accept the living word that you have for us today, dear God. I pray, dear God, as we read the Bible from now on, dear God, that we would not read it just as a normal book, but we would understand that this is the word that you have for us today. And we thank you. And we pray, dear God, that you protect, keep, watch over us, dear God, as we go from here, but never from your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody say amen. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be. God bless you, and may God keep you until next time.